Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Wednesday, March 2nd, 2022. Coming up this hour,
President Biden targets Russia and inflation in his first State of the Union address.
This is our moment to meet and overcome the challenges of our time, and we will.
Russia moves further into Ukraine, claiming capture of a port city.
And the war sends oil surging above $110 a barrel.
New Jersey residents may soon have to pump their own gas. Plus, New York's Republican Party leaders nominated Representative Lee Zeldin as their candidate for governor. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stanshower in sports. The baseball lockout continues. The first two series of the season were canceled. Road losses for the Nets, Islanders, and Devils.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. stock index futures are higher this morning. We're coming up to 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day. On Bloomberg, S&P futures up 30 points, Dow futures up 231, NASDAQ futures up 88, and the 10-year Treasury down 4/32, yield 1.74%. The yield on the 2-year, 1.38%. NYMEX crude oil is up 5.4%. Nathan.
All right, Karen, we'll have more on the markets in a minute, but first, the fighting is intensifying in Eastern Europe. According to Interfax, Russia's defense ministry says it has captured the Ukrainian port of Kherson. As Moscow presses ahead with attacks, the U.S. is taking more action to isolate Russia and prevent cyber attacks. Amy Morris reports from our Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
The U.S. government has banned Russian aircraft from American airspace as the U.S. and EU look to expand sanctions on Russia. Former U.S. ambassador to Ukraine, William Taylor, tells ABC those sanctions should extend to Belarus.
They are co-conspirators. They are together with Putin.
This as the Senate fast-tracked a package of cybersecurity proposals. The House is working on a companion bill. U.S. businesses are on high alert for Russian cyber attacks. In Washington, I'm Amy Morris, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Amy, thank you. We're coming off President Biden's first State of the Union address last night. And in his speech, the president promised to take on Vladimir Putin and keep supporting Ukraine.
He thought the West and NATO wouldn't respond. He thought he could divide us at home, in this chamber, in this nation. He thought he could divide us in Europe as well. But Putin was wrong.
In remarks that lasted a little more than an hour, the president also called on Congress to unite on challenges here at home, including higher prices.
One way to fight inflation is to drive down wages and make Americans poorer. I think I have a better idea to fight inflation. Lower your costs, not your wages.
The president touted his bipartisan infrastructure law and called for new action on domestic manufacturing and supply chains, lowering health and family costs, and boosting competition. He also promised to keep fighting COVID even as more Americans return to work and school.
Well, reaction continues to pour into the State of the Union, Karen. Jeannie Shianzano is a political science professor and a Bloomberg News contributor.
I think he missed an important moment. This is the last big speech Joe Biden will give, the last major audience he has before the midterm election. And I'm not sure he changed on the domestic front any hearts or minds. And I think he could have done a better job saying we need to restore democracy, not just abroad, but at home.
Bloomberg contributor Jeannie Shianzano says the number one issue for voters right now is inflation.
And Republicans seized on that topic after the president wrapped up his speech, Nathan. Iowa Governor Kim Reynolds delivered the GOP response to the State of the Union.
We're now 1 year into his presidency, and instead of moving America forward, it feels like President Biden and his party have sent us back in time to the late 70s and early 80s.
Iowa Governor Kim Reynolds used her 14-minute address to say the country's on the wrong track. She focused on issues ranging from inflation and crime to taxes and education.
All right, let's turn to markets now, Karen. We are seeing major moves this morning in commodities as the war in Ukraine intensifies. Let's get the latest live from Bloomberg's John Tucker. John.
Nathan, oil surging this morning, Brent crude above $110 a barrel. The International Energy Agency warns that global energy security is under threat because of Russia's war on Ukraine. In addition to energy, metals, and grains, prices are higher. Russian commodities not targeted by sanctions, but banks are pulling financing, and shippers are reluctant to touch anything from Russia. Live in New York, I'm John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thank you. While more of the world's iconic brands are pulling away from Russia, we get more on the growing list live from Bloomberg's Renita Young. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, Karen. Apple and Nike both say they're halting product sales in Russia, cutting off the country from the most valuable tech company and the biggest maker of athletic wear, while Disney and Warner Media are pausing new movie releases in the nation. It's a cultural and commercial split not seen since the Cold War ended in the 80s. U.S. brands are quickly vanishing from the Russian marketplace in a way that'll be hard for consumers to ignore. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Renita, thank you. How will the war in Ukraine affect the Fed? We'll be looking for answers on that, plus the outlook for inflation when Federal Reserve Chairman Jay Powell begins 2 days of testimony to Congress. Bloomberg Economics correspondent Michael McKee reports.
Inflation in February, out next week, is forecast to be the highest since the start of 1982. So there's pressure on the Fed to do something. But what policymakers don't know is how much higher prices from Russia's war will crimp growth. Those are questions Chairman Powell will face the next 2 days. And it's not just a growth worry. Powell also has to worry about higher inflation expectations becoming embedded in consumer and business psychology. Michael McKee, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Michael, thank you. The U.S. dollar also in focus today. It's been strengthening since the war in Ukraine began, and the shift could mark a critical inflection point for the greenback. That's according to Zoltan Pozsar, head of interest rate strategy at Credit Suisse. Now that Russia has lost access to currency reserves, he says other countries may start questioning the value of their own reserves, and that could ripple across currency markets.
The FX reserves are partly used by the central bank to be able to provide dollars to the domestic financial system. And if all these balances are frozen, you know, one channel of dollars to help the local banking system dries up. So I think it's quite a complicated situation.
Zoltan Pozsar at Credit Suisse made the comments on Bloomberg Odd Lots podcast. Read more about it on today's Big Take by Bloomberg on the terminal and online at Bloomberg.com. Futures this morning are higher. S&P futures up 25 points. Dow futures up 193. NASDAQ futures up 77. And the 10-year Treasury down 3/32. The yield 1.73%. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines plus a check of sports. And this is Bloomberg.
All right, Karen, thank you. It's 5:07 on Wall Street, 42 degrees in Central Park, and a broken down vehicle. We got that on the outbound George Washington Bridge upper level. Details coming up in traffic. First, Michael Barr is here with what else is going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. New Jersey drivers could soon be forced to pump their own gas. New Jersey is the only state in the nation where drivers are not allowed to pump their own gas by law, but a bill in the state legislature could allow self-service as an option for smaller stations while maintaining full service for stations with four or more pumps. Station owners say changing it would help offset rising gas prices and worker shortages. New York City's pension fund for police officers voted to sell stocks and bonds issued by Russian companies. The $53.6 billion fund has more than 85,000 active members and retirees. Hong Kong is set to report a record of over 50,000 daily new COVID infections today. The city's spiraling outbreak has seen thousands of residents flee while those remaining store shelves of food and medicine. U.S. Representative Lee Zeldin, an ally of former President Donald Trump, accepted the New York State Republican Party's nomination as their candidate for the 2022 governor's race. Beto O'Rourke is projected to be the Democratic winner for the Texas gubernatorial primary. He held a victory rally in Fort Worth last night.
This group of people, and then some, are going to make me the first Democrat to be governor of the state of Texas since 1994.
O'Rourke will go up against incumbent Governor Greg Abbott, who won the GOP primary.
Republicans sent a message. They want to keep Texas, the land of opportunity and prosperity for absolutely everybody.
Governor Abbott spoke to his supporters at a Corpus Christi victory rally. Tulsa, Oklahoma is searching for more remains of victims killed in the city's 1921 race massacre. University of Florida forensic anthropologist Dr. Phoebe Stubblefield says one grave held the remains of a homicide victim.
Burial 27 had multiple gunshot wounds that contributed to his death. He had a minimum of 3 gunshot wounds. He was a young man in his 20s.
The city says it will not file criminal charges. The moon is about to get slammed by a big piece of space junk and leave a crater the size of several semi-tractor trailers. The leftover rocket will slam into the far side of the moon Friday. Global News 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael. Thanks. Almost 5:10 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Good morning, John Stanshauer.
All right, good morning, Nathan. For the first time since the strike that canceled the 1994 World Series and went into the following season, baseball games will be lost to a work stoppage. The lockout continues the first two series of the season canceled. Two sides had that marathon bargaining session Monday that led to an extension of the deadline and some optimism, but things apparently did not go well yesterday. The commissioner is Rob Manfred.
We worked hard to avoid an outcome that's bad for our fans, bad for our players, and bad for our clubs. I want to assure our fans that our failure to reach an agreement was not due to a lack of effort by either party. The players came here for 9 days. They worked hard. They tried to make a deal. And I appreciate their effort.
The Yankees were to start the season with 7 road games, Texas and Houston. The Mets' first two series were at home versus Washington and Atlanta. Those games will not be made up. A lot closer for the Nets against the Raptors. Toronto won by 36 in Brooklyn. Same two last night in Toronto. Raptors won 109-108. They had a 10-0 run in the fourth quarter. Nets have now lost 15 of 18, just as the Knicks have. Knicks play in Philadelphia tonight. Nets play Miami tomorrow. Kevin Durant's expected to play. He's been out since mid-January. Islanders in Colorado. The Avs with their NHL-leading 40th win. They scored 3 in the third and won 5-3. Devils lost in Columbus 4-3. The WNBA has fined the New York Liberty $500,000. Their crime was flying their players on chartered flights instead of flying commercial, as league rules dictate. John Stashower, Bloomberg.
Thank you, John. S&P futures now are up 27 points. Dow futures up 200. NASDAQ futures higher by 86 points. The 10-year Treasury is down 4.30 seconds. The yield 1.74%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg 11:30 weather, mostly sunny, upper 40s today. Chance for a shower tonight, but we'll be under a mix of sun and clouds tomorrow. Breezy, cooler, low 40s for highs, upper 30s by Friday. Currently 42 in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. stock index futures on the rise this morning. European stocks erased their losses after the Kremlin said Russia is ready to resume talks with Ukraine tonight. Brent topped $110 a barrel. Bonds in Europe held losses after data showed euro area consumer prices rose more than forecast in February. And German inflation may average 5% this year as Russia's war with Ukraine will further boost energy prices, according to the Bundesbank. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day. On Bloomberg, S&P futures up 36 points, Dow futures up 250, NASDAQ futures up 127, the DAX in Germany's up 0.4%. The 10-year Treasury down 5.30 seconds, yield 1.74%, and the yield on the 2-year 1.39%. NYMEX crude oil is up 5.5%, up $5.68 at $109.10 a barrel, and Brent is at $110.90. COMEX gold is down 0.4% or $8.10 at $19.35.60 an ounce. The euro 1.1086 against the dollar. British pound 1.3316. The yen's at 115.24. Bitcoin this morning higher. It's at $44,150. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. President Joe Biden gave his first State of the Union address from the Capitol last night. The president opened with a message of global unity against Russian President Vladimir Putin.
Putin is now isolated from the world more than he has ever been.
Iowa's Republican Governor Kim Reynolds offered up the GOP response to President Biden's address. Reynolds portrayed the GOP as the party of freedom and choice.
Because you know, you've shown that the soul of America isn't about who lives in the White House.
Reynolds is asking people to think about the last year of Democratic policies coming from the White House. The scheduled opening day for Major League Baseball has been canceled. No deal reached between the players and teams yesterday to end the lockout. In the NBA, the Nets and Warriors lost. The Celtics and Wizards won. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, Michael. Thanks. We're coming up to 5:20 on Wall Street Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak, and fresh from anchoring our State of the Union coverage last night on Bloomberg Radio and Television, Bloomberg Washington correspondent Joe Matthew joins us this morning after, of course, host of Sound On as well on Bloomberg Radio. Joe, it's great to have you with us this morning after a speech that was dominated by a lot of blue and yellow in the congressional chamber in support of Ukraine. The president getting a chance to show that he wants to unify the world against Russia.
Well, that's right. And that was really the opening salvo in this speech. The first third of the speech really is about an hour long in total. Nathan was directly aimed at Vladimir Putin and commentary on the war in Ukraine, which is highly unusual for a president to start a State of the Union address by talking about foreign policy. But this is the world we're in right now. He got both sides of the room on their feet repeatedly in calling Vladimir Putin a dictator and speaking about the effort to start chasing oligarchs. There are a couple of pretty good lines that we heard from the president last night, that we'd go after their yachts, their luxury apartments, go after their ill-gotten gains. It really got the room fired up as he spoke about the unity in this effort. And to your point, it was a lot of blue and yellow as you looked around the room with pins and wardrobe. But, you know, interesting, Nathan, it was what people were not wearing that might have been one of the bigger stories of the night, and that would be a mask. If you look at the images of President Biden walking into that room without a mask, the lawmakers lining the aisle as he made his way to the speaker's rostrum, shaking hands, hugging, it's something we have not seen in a couple of years. And it was a way for the administration to say that we may not have won this battle against COVID, but we have turned a corner.
Yeah, and it was interesting as well to see the president, when he talked about COVID, almost seeming to line up with a lot of what Republicans have been calling for the last few months, getting people back to work, getting people in school, and at the same time, ramping up vaccinations and access to COVID treatments, that sort of thing. Is the country moving on from COVID?
Well, look, I think a lot of the country has moved on, and that's sort of the situation that the federal government, the administration, has found itself in. The CDC, as you know, loosened up its mask mandate weeks after a lot of states, and in some cases months after a lot of states did this. There is a cry to get people back to work, obviously, to hear the president kind of get on board with that following the adjusted mandates or adjusted policies. Lack of mandate from Rochelle Walensky at the CDC tells us a lot. And if you remember back, you know, in the middle of the summer here, the president did try this once in declaring victory almost over COVID. He said we were about to declare our independence. Then, of course, Delta happened, then Omicron. So they have to be careful about this. But the visual last night seemed to go further than most of what he said. He issued a 4-point plan on, you know, eventually beating COVID. He said we don't have to just live with this. But the fact is, we are living with it. And watching that room last night was real evidence of that.
Of course, we are still dealing with the after effects of the pandemic, not the least of which is rising prices. He says that getting prices under control will be his top priority.
Yeah.
At the same time, he's running into a very divided country, a very divided approach to how to do that.
Yeah, well, as we walk through the night here, walk through the speech, Nathan, you're right. When he got into that point, pivot to domestic politics, that's when the room started to look a little more like a traditional State of the Union. Democrats up for some things, Republicans sitting down at the same time. And it was a lot of repackaging. When Build Back Better fell apart, his social spending plan at the end of last year, voting rights legislation the beginning of this year, he dropped the brand Build Back Better, never said that name, but talked a lot about the individual components, paid leave, the expanded child tax credit, and so forth, that they hope to breathe new life into. But in this midterm election year, with the division in Congress that you just alluded to, it's highly unlikely that any of these could see the light of day.
So in our last 30 seconds here, Joe, would you see this as a pivot for President Biden or sort of a reframe?
Well, maybe reset is a word that we can try. That's what he wanted it to be, a reset after a very difficult first year in office, where he actually had a couple of good things to talk about. The infrastructure law, 6 million new jobs, historic unemployment. You look at economic growth of 5.7% for a lot of presidents. Those would be pretty big hallmarks. But there were so many other headwinds, from inflation to COVID regulations, just the bitter politics in Washington, that I think, yes, he is hoping, as he called out to the room, for some unity in this country, particularly now with a war underway in Europe.
Joe Matthew, our Bloomberg Washington correspondent, doing heavy duty this morning after anchoring our State of the Union coverage. We'll be back later on today with Bloomberg Sound On this afternoon at 5 p.m. Wall Street time on Bloomberg Radio. Right now, S&P futures up 34 points. Dow futures up 242. NASDAQ futures up 114. Brent crude at $110.77 a barrel. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 11:30 weather, sunshine, upper 40s today, chance for a shower tonight, but we'll be under a mix of sun and clouds tomorrow, breezy with highs in the low 40s by then, upper 30s for highs on Friday. Right now, 42 in Central Park.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 99.1. To Boston, Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and we're just about 4 hours away from the open of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. The fighting is intensifying in Eastern Europe, according to Interfax. Russia's defense ministry says it has captured the Ukrainian port of Kherson. Moscow is pressing ahead with attacks. Meantime, the United Nations is sounding the alarm on the humanitarian crisis in Ukraine. And Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the latest.
The body says almost 700,000 people have already fled Ukraine and say as many as 4 million may leave. U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken says Russia should not be on the Humanitarian Council.
These are the human rights abuses this council was created to stop. If we cannot come together now, when will we come together?
The U.N. forecasts Russia to step up attacks from targeted to more widespread and more brutal. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Ed, thank you. We're coming off President Biden's first State of the Union address last night. The president says Vladimir Putin has no idea what's coming. He used his speech to rally support for Ukraine and to confront the challenges here at home.
We'll meet the test. Protect freedom and liberty. Expand fairness and opportunity. And we will save democracy.
President Biden said getting prices under control will be his top priority. He touted his bipartisan infrastructure law and called for more action on domestic manufacturing and increasing competition.
Well, speaking of gas prices, Nathan, we're seeing crude surge again this morning. We get the latest live with Bloomberg's John Tucker. John.
Karen, Brent oil has topped $100 a barrel. The International Energy Agency warns the situation is serious. While sanctions haven't targeted Russian crude, banks won't finance and shippers don't want to touch it. About 70% of Russian crude trade is currently frozen. A strategic oil reserve release has done little to tame prices. OPEC Plus meets today, but it's only expected to increase production by a trickle. Live in New York, I'm John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thanks. So how will the war in Ukraine affect the Fed? We'll be looking for answers on that, plus the outlook for inflation when Fed Chair Jay Powell begins 2 days of testimony to Congress. Listen for that live on Bloomberg Radio and Television beginning at 10 a.m. Eastern.
And on the corporate front this morning, Nathan, shares of Nordstrom are surging. The department store operator up more than 32% after earnings and a forecast that topped analyst estimates. Futures are also higher this morning. S&P futures up 31 points. Dow futures up 235. NASDAQ futures up 106. The 10-year Treasury down 4/32. Yield 1.74%. And the yield on the 2-year 1.38%. NYMEX crude oil is up more than 5%. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports. And this is Bloomberg.
It's Karen, 5:33 on Wall Street, 42 degrees. We got a crash in the westbound LIE at Maurice Avenue. Michael Barr has more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. New Jersey drivers may soon have to pump their own gas. The New Jersey legislature introduced a measure that would allow residents the option to pump their own gas or continue with full service from an attendant. New Jersey does not allow drivers to pump their own gas by law. Many drivers love the full service law, but station owners say changing it would help offset rising gas prices and worker shortages. A mask mandate for students in schools ends in New York State starting today. Governor Kathy Hochul says that new cases have dropped 98%. The mandate is still in place for New York City students for now. It's a milestone Hong Kong does not want. According to local media, the city will report more than 50,000 confirmed COVID cases today. Hong Kong's spiraling outbreak has seen thousands of residents flee, while those remaining strip shelves of food and medicine. There were demonstrations about a controversial bill in Florida. Protests were held outside City Hall in Miami Beach as Florida's so-called Don't Say Gay bill advances. The measure aims to ban speaking about sexual orientation or gender identity in schools.
It's extremely harmful to queer youth.
No child should feel that they are not respected.
Supporters of the bill say it's not to demonize certain groups.
Just says that we don't talk about these sorts of things till the kids are out of third grade.
The measure is officially known as the Parental Rights and Education Bill. New York's Republican Party leaders nominated U.S. Representative Lee Zeldin as their candidate for governor. Their convention was held on Long Island yesterday. Democratic challenger Jessica Cisneros has forced a primary runoff in South Texas against conservative Democratic Representative Henry Cuellar. Neither candidate last night got more than 50% of the vote needed to win outright. The race was among the most heated in Texas's first in the nation primary. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts from more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. 5:35 on Wall Street. John Stanshaw is the Bloomberg Sports Update.
Thanks, Nathan. Opening day was to be March 31st. Yankees in Texas, Mets at home against Washington. Those games and all of the first two series canceled. The baseball lockout, ninth work stoppage in MLB history, continues, and you can't help but get the feeling it might last a while. Both sides blaming the other. The commissioner is Rob Manfred.
The only thing I can say is that from the perspective of the commissioner's office and the clubs, we are doing our very, very best to try to reach an agreement. Unfortunately, it's not something that's solely within our control. It takes two parties to reach an agreement, and we will continue to be committed to that process.
The Players Association put out a statement. They called this the culmination of a decades-long attempt to break the union. Its chief, Tony Clark, says the players have never been so united. The biggest issue, the competitive balance tax that helps smaller market teams and what a team's payroll should be at to start paying into it. Nets went to Toronto. The unvaccinated Kyrie Irving normally plays road games, but he's not allowed to cross the border. Raptors won 109-108 to sweep the home-and-home. James Johnson led Brooklyn with 19, but he missed a game-winning shot at the end. Islanders lost at Colorado 5-3. Devils lost in Columbus 4-3. The Rangers host St. Louis tonight. The NFL scouting combine underway in Indianapolis, and new Giants GM Joe Shane told reporters the Giants are not in good salary cap health. Shane needs to shed about $40 million. He admitted he would listen to trade offers for Saquon Barkley. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
Thanks, John. Almost 5:37 on Wall Street. Time for the Tri-State Business Report. Here's Bloomberg's Ed Corey.
Manhattan's supply of office space hit a new record high, even as workers came back to buildings. The availability rate hit a peak of 17.4% in February, with 94 million square feet of offices up for grabs, according to data from Colliers, going back to 2000. Largely driving the increase was a surge in sublease space. Well, fewer new families enrolled their kids in New York City public schools during the pandemic. The city's struggling to retain young, white, and affluent students. That's according to a report from the New York City Independent Budget Office. Amid a renewed push to ban smoking in Atlantic City casinos, a new report predicts that doing that could cost up to 2,500 casino jobs and nearly 11% of casino revenue as they struggle to rebound from the coronavirus pandemic. Independent gambling research firm Spectrum Gaming Group issued the report. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey.
Thanks, Ed. 5:38 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio's on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Steve Potisk, and on KNX in Los Angeles, we're talking about Netflix buying a game maker that produces a title based on the Stranger Things streaming series.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and for WCCO in Minneapolis, I'm reporting that some U.S. Bancorp retirees are suing the bank, saying it shortchanges the pensions of workers who retire early.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on KFAB in Omaha. Beef prices are set to rise further as costs for ranchers soar.
I'm Caroline Hepcorn, Bloomberg DAB, digital radio in London. We're reporting on Boris Johnson updating MPs after his trip to Eastern Europe as Russia says its forces have captured a key Ukrainian port.
I'm Ed Corey on WWJ in Detroit. I'm reporting Ford is suspending operations in Russia.
Those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. It's 5:39 on Wall Street.
The following is an editorial from Bloomberg Opinion.
This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Editorial Board. Russia's invasion of Ukraine is already disrupting energy markets, sending crude prices above $105 a barrel. So news that the U.S. has agreed to tap its strategic petroleum reserve is welcome indeed. It is part of a larger plan coordinated with the International Energy Agency to tap oil stockpiles in countries around the globe, the first move of its kind in more than 10 years. The U.S. will release 30 million barrels of oil, half of the total to be released worldwide. This won't just provide short-term relief at the pump. It could also help calm global energy markets if the war in Ukraine worsens and counter Russia's ability to wield its energy supplies as a weapon. No one knows precisely what energy markets may do over coming months. This all makes it the wiser to take precautions now. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Editorial Board. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPIN Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
Listen for Bloomberg Opinion editorials every weekday at this time. Terminal customers can read more at OPIN Go. S&P futures up 28 points. Dow futures up 225. NASDAQ futures higher by 96 points. The 10-year Treasury down 8/32, yield 1.75%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg 11:30 weather, sunshine upper 40s today. Chance for a shower tonight, but we'll have a mix of sun and clouds tomorrow. Breezy low 40s for highs, upper 30s by Friday. Right now, 42 in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. stock index futures on the rise this morning. European stocks erased their losses after the Kremlin said Russia is ready to resume talks with Ukraine tonight. Brent topped 110 barrels. Bonds in Europe holding losses after data showed euro area consumer prices rose more than forecast in February. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day. On Bloomberg, S&P futures up about 28 points. Dow futures up 212. NASDAQ futures up 91. The DAX in Germany is up 0.5%. 10-year Treasury down 5/32, yield 1.74%. The yield on the 2-year, 1.38%. NYMEX crude oil is up 4.3%. It's at $107.87 a barrel. That's up $4.44. Brent also higher by more than 4%. It's at $109.62. COMEX gold is down 0.9% or $17 at $19.26.80 an ounce. The euro 1.1093 against the dollar. British pound 1.3318. The yen is at 115.25, and Bitcoin is moving higher at $44,240. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, thank you very much. Day 7 of the Russia-Ukraine conflict dawned with Russia continuing its attacks on crowded Ukrainian cities. Last night, President Joe Biden, in his State of the Union speech, gave his support to Ukraine.
We're giving more than $1 billion of direct assistance to Ukraine, and we'll continue to aid Ukrainian people as they defend their country and help ease their suffering.
Iowa Governor Kim Reynolds gave the GOP response to Biden's address.
The president tried to paint a different picture tonight, but his actions over the last 12 months don't match the rhetoric. It's not what he promised when he took office.
Reynolds did say all Americans must stand united in solidarity with the people of Ukraine. The scheduled opening day for Major League Baseball has been canceled. No deal was reached between the players and owners. In the NBA, the Nets and Warriors lost. The Celtics and Wizards won. In the NHL, the Devils, Islanders, and Bruins all lost. Global news, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, Michael. Thanks. It's 5:49 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. As we continue to gather reaction to President Biden's first State of the Union address, we're joined live this morning by Wendy Schiller, director of the Taubman Center for American Politics and Policy at Brown University. Professor, good morning. The president called for unity against Russia and around his economic agenda in the fight against inflation. Did he step up to the moment for you?
Well, Nathan, I thought it was a very good speech. You know, it's all about expectations with President Biden. Sometimes he's really on his game, looks, you know, really fit and sharp and is relatively coherent. Joe Biden's always had a kind of career where he's not always the most coherent speaker. And I thought he was very, very good, very on point. It was a remarkable atmosphere for the State of the Union. We haven't seen this kind of atmosphere in many years in the State of the Union chamber. You know, there was one very partisan moment when he criticized the Trump tax cuts and the GOP Congress. But other than that, there were a lot of standing ovations, a lot of applause. Now, keep in mind, a lot of the GOP did not go to the speech. Last night, the COVID restrictions limited the number of people in the chamber. But nonetheless, it was what we call a good show for the United States of America, for the rest of the world, which was watching the speech because of Ukraine and the Russia invasion. So, you know, I think his staff probably thought he had a good night.
In the past, we've talked about the president, in your view, needing to show signs that he's pivoting to some respect, but given the fact where his poll ratings are right now, particularly on the question of his fight against inflation. He says cutting prices will be his top priority. Is he doing enough through this speech to show that he's got that under control, that he has that in focus?
Well, Nathan, I thought actually that was one of the weaker points he was trying to make, because I'm just not sure how the federal government does that effectively, quickly, right? How do you force private businesses to cut their prices when the supply chain's difficult, energy prices are high? You know, that's a very tough call. So you, again, do not want to promise things you can't deliver, which is sort of what has tagged or really nagged at Biden's presidency in the past year. I think the key thing for Biden is that one of the problems with his poll ratings is that people feel he can't do the job, literally, whether he's physically or mentally not fit to do the job. I think last night really put a lot of that just, you know, those doubts to bed in the sense of sort of, you know, is he with it? Can he run the country? He's going to have to do a lot more of that. He's going to have to be out and about and have the American people see him, particularly out in the country, you know, off the cuff, even though he can be a little casual off the cuff, just to see that he can run the country, because that's the poll number that I think is most concerning to the Democrats. It's the kind of thing you cannot fix with, you know, policy recommendations.
With a speech last night, how does it set up the midterm fight, the fight for control of Congress, the issues he put out there, the economic agenda? It seems as though he's still arguing for a lot of the same pieces of Build Back Better, even though he didn't use the words Build Back Better.
Well, part of last night was also about Democratic unity. You know, they showed a lot of Democrats in the room, including AOC, who's a very vocal and well-known member of the Progressive Caucus. And I think that's one of the things, was let's show everybody that the Democrats themselves are united and not fractious and not divided. And so if they can hold that image, I think it helps them a little bit. But I thought Kim Reynolds, governor of Iowa, her response, and not everybody watches the opposite party response, but I do, was very on point, very sharp, well delivered, and, you know, reflected what the Republicans are going to run on, basically inflation, gas prices, and culture wars. And that's something that, you know, Biden stayed away from completely. We'll see how the GOP handles the nomination of the first African-American woman to the Supreme Court, Ketanji Brown Jackson, and we'll see whether the GOP wants to get into that battle as well. But it seems from Kim Reynolds' address that they are willing to take on almost every cultural issue. And that's still something that Biden hasn't paid a lot of attention to, because, you know, he doesn't want to get involved in those things. But, you know, they mattered in Virginia in the election, and it looks like they're going to matter in 22 in the midterms.
Thanks for this, Professor. Good having you with us this morning. Wendy Schiller is director of the Taubman Center for American Politics and Policy at Brown University. Karen.
All right, Nathan, thank you. It is 5:53 on Wall Street. It's time for our daily Bloomberg Law Brief, exploring legal issues in the news. Brought to you by American Arbitration Association. Business disputes are inevitable. Resolve faster with the American Arbitration Association, the global leader in alternative dispute resolution for over 90 years. More at ADR.org. Today, we're focused on the Supreme Court. Justices debated putting new limits on the EPA's power to tackle greenhouse gas emissions in a case that threatens to undercut President Biden's climate agenda. Republican-led states and coal companies are seeking to bar the EPA from issuing plans to reduce carbon emissions from power plants, while the White House is defending the agency's authority. For more on the case, Bloomberg's June Grosso speaks to Pat Parento, a professor of environmental law at the Vermont Law School.
What's at stake in this case?
When you're talking about the electricity sector, that represents about a third of our total greenhouse gas emissions. So it's incredibly important to regulate that sector and get those emissions down. And within that sector, you know, the single most important category, of course, is coal-fired power plants. So this case, West Virginia versus EPA, no surprise, West Virginia being a huge coal state still, even though coal is dying there, it's all about whether EPA has authority to impose the kinds of controls, well, a system of controls, that will significantly bring those plants into compliance with the Clean Air Act and with President Biden's avowed pledge to make the electricity sector carbon-free by 2035. So there's a lot riding on this. And beyond the greenhouse gas and the climate change implications of the case, depending on what the court does, it may sweep even more broadly. It may affect all of environmental law.
The arguments were really long. Was there one issue that the justices were kicking around most?
Yes, that's the major question doctrine. You know, the court has already used that twice this year. They struck down a rule putting a moratorium on evictions, you may recall, because of the COVID epidemic. And they said that the agency didn't have the authority because that was something the agency had never done before. And in another case, OSHA also imposed a rule, and the court struck that down, saying, OSHA, you're not the health agency. You can't be writing a rule that regulates people's exposure to COVID in the workplace. So the court has already shown that it wants to wield this major question doctrine in a way that strikes down agency rules that the court, the conservative members of the court, believe are going too far, having major impacts on the nation's economy and so forth. But it's a rule they made up. I mean, it doesn't come from the Constitution, and it's fairly recent. It's just within this era of the people that have joined the courts. They're all of the same mind about limiting agency authority.
The so-called administrative state, is that what this is about?
That's what this is about. I mean, the court would never use that term, but that's what it's about. It's a suspicion that agencies who are, quote, unelected bureaucrats, you know, arrogating a lot of power, and they don't like that.
And that's Vermont Law Professor Pat Parento speaking at the Bloomberg Student Grosso. Catch more of that interview, plus analysis of the latest legal news, by subscribing to the Bloomberg Law Podcast or downloading the show at Bloomberg.com/podcast. Attorneys can find exceptional legal research and business development tools at BloombergLaw.com and on the Bloomberg Terminal at BLawGo. And again, futures are higher this morning with S&P futures up 23 points, Dow futures up 172. NASDAQ futures up 85, the 10-year Treasury down 5/32, the yield 1.74%, and the yield in the 2-year 1.39%. Still ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak, a check on the business headlines and all the news you need to start your day. And this is Bloomberg.